Father God, I thank you that you offer us and give us living water. Would we come to you and ask you for a drink this morning? Please help me as I speak, that I would speak clearly and faithfully. Amen. I'm on the back end of a cold, so God gives us strength. Just to retell this story, so this is the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus has left Judea for Galilee. Judea is where the capital of Israel is, Jerusalem, and he's heading, I believe, north to Galilee. Tom's nodding, so I've got my geography right. And a lot of strict Jews around that time would go north from Jerusalem, from Judea to Galilee, by going around this land called Samaria, because Samaria was considered like an unclean nation, the racially impure. They'd mixed Jewish blood with Gentile blood, and it's kind of this nasty stigma with Samaritans. But Jesus, it says in this passage, chooses to go via Samaria. He's not afraid of that difference. Yeah, that's great of Jesus. And when he's passing through, he gets tired and thirsty because Jesus was fully God and fully man, wasn't he? So he experienced the tiredness and weariness and colds that we all experience, and he wanted a drink. So he sat down by this well, which seemed to be a famous well because it was one that was attributed to Jacob. And he sees this woman there and he says, "Please, can you give me a drink?" And the woman says, "Why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan, and there's this difference between us, between you Jews and Samaritans, and I'm a woman. Why are you asking me for water?" She's acknowledging this. It's not just something that we've made up. The difference between Jews and Samaritans was real, and it was felt in that day. And Jesus responds to her, not by talking about that, but he says, "If you knew who was asking you, you would have asked me for a drink. If you knew who I was, that I'm asking you for a drink, you would have asked me for a drink." The woman says, "How will you get a drink for me? You don't have anything to pull the water. You don't have a bucket, a rope. How will you do this? Are you greater than Jacob, who built this well?" It's significant. He's sitting by this well that's attributed to a great forefather of theirs. And she is saying, "Are you greater than Jacob?" And Jesus says to her, "This water will make you thirsty again. If you gave me a drink from this, I would get thirsty again. If I gave you a drink from this, you would get thirsty again." And then verse 14, he says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." A few chapters later in John 7, Jesus explains that this water is the Holy Spirit. Can I just read it from John 7, 37 to 39? "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Just what he's saying to this Samaritan. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "If you come to me and ask me for a drink, I will give you the Holy Spirit. And he will come and he will make you never thirst again. And this Holy Spirit that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Just like we read in Luke, ask, "Can I have the Holy Spirit? Can you give me a drink, Jesus?" I want us to focus on that statement in verse 14, what we can learn about the Holy Spirit from this. The first thing we can learn is that it is inclusive. The Holy Spirit is given to whoever. If you've got a King James Bible, you probably read whosoever. I love whoever comes to me, whoever, even Samaritans, even those the Jews deemed racially impure, and even women. I don't know if this is true, but I heard someone say that there was this prayer in the Middle East at the time that was, I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile, and I thank you, God, that I'm not a woman. The offer of the Holy Spirit is for anyone, regardless of our race, regardless of our gender, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we're Pharisees or unschooled fishermen who don't know what's going on and don't understand half the things Jesus is talking about in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is for whoever, whosoever, which is really good news if you feel there's something about you that just disqualifies you from Jesus. If you feel maybe it's something racially, I don't feel like I measure up, I don't fit in, maybe it's culturally, just I can't find a church where I just feel like I'm normal. Does Jesus offer me the Holy Spirit? Yes. Maybe there's things in our past that we've done. This woman, as the passage goes on, has not lived a righteous life by the law's standard. And yet the offer is for her as well. Whoever, whatever you have done, whoever. However, as inclusive as this offer is, it is also exclusive, because you're not going to get this living water from anyone else. Only from Jesus. Whoever comes to me. If you knew who was asking you, you would have asked me for a drink. It is inclusive because the offer is open to everyone, but it is exclusive in that you have to ask Jesus for this water. Jacob won't give it to you. He's sitting at Jacob's well. There's a lot of historical significance with Jacob. And the woman is saying, aren't you, you think you're greater than Jacob? You know, the historical forefather of whom this great nation of ours was made? Jesus, the implied answer is yes, I am greater than Jacob, because this water will make you thirsty again. We can turn to so many things to look for living water, but nowhere else will give it. And there may be places and things of historical significance to us. I'm not oblivious, but a few weeks ago I started noticing these England flags popping up on my walk to work. And I thought, oh, the cricket's on. I don't know if it's good or bad what's going on with those flags, but I know that in that flag there is no living water. As good as this country is and as wonderful as it is, and as established and as historically significant as Britain is, we can't turn to it for living water. I work at a university and we're celebrating 125 years. And yes, we've been around a long time. Universities aren't going to give us the living water. As clever as they are, as all the achievements they've done and all the research, we'll drink from that knowledge of wisdom and philosophy and science, and we'll just be thirsty again. Even, dare I say it, the law, the Old Testament, won't give us this spirit. Paul writes really challengingly in Galatians. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Let me ask you this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? Some of us might think that if we read the Bible and we do what it says and we're really good Christians, then we will get the Holy Spirit. Paul says, no. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Coming to Jesus, hearing his words, coming to him, believing in him. Jesus, I believe you are greater than anyone else. I believe you're greater than the law. I believe you're greater than my efforts to fulfill the law. Please, can you give me a drink? Because if I try and I do this in my strength, I will be thirsty again. This is an inclusive offer, but only one source, Jesus. A couple of other things, and we'll get through them quicker. This is a satisfying source of water for us. They will never be thirsty again. They will never be thirsty again. The wells of this world will make us thirsty again, even if they were dug by Jacob. Even if there are great relationships and marriages and families, they won't satisfy. Maybe they're money, and all the money we've got in our savings account, and when the economy goes, we'll be like, that's fine, because I've got savings. It won't satisfy. It comes and it goes, money. Maybe it's our achievements. We can do something really well, and we're really proud of that. We won't always be able to do that. We will become thirsty again if we look for water in these wells. Only Jesus can bring us satisfying water so that we will never be thirsty again. The third thing about the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives is that it is life-giving to us. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I think there's two parts to this life-givingness. Part of that is that we share this with other people. The woman, as soon as this encounter is over, it says in verse 28 to 30, "So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who has told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?'" When we have this well of living water in us, we want to tell people about Jesus. How do we know we've received this Holy Spirit? Because we want to tell people about Jesus, and we do. It's what happened in Acts. We looked at Pentecost a few weeks or months ago. We just go and we tell people, whether that's at home, whether that's at work, whether that's overseas. We had some young people go overseas or going overseas. Maybe some old people in the church feel like God is calling you overseas. God is sending you to go and to tell people about Jesus. Paul says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." If we have the Holy Spirit, we will declare Jesus is Lord. Come to him for a drink. And then the second thing about this life-giving Holy Spirit is that it is eternal life for us. Earlier in John chapter 3, Jesus encounters a man called Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The way we have this eternal life is by believing in Jesus, believing that he has the water, the living water, that means we won't go thirsty again, that will satisfy us, and that we will have eternal life. We must hear and believe. Jesus, I thank you that you came to earth to share this with us, to tell us that we can have living water. Lord, I thank you that we can come today, no matter what we've done, no matter how we've lived, no matter what background we come from, and we can say, "Jesus, please can you give me a drink?" Lord, and you will respond, "Whoever comes to me." Lord, I pray in our hearts this week as we notice those flags and we notice the ways the world is chasing after something to satisfy them, we would just turn to you over and over again. Please give me a drink. When we notice in our own hearts we're turning to things that are not you to satisfy us, would we challenge ourselves and turn to Jesus, "Please give me a drink." in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance . Lord, may we believe in Jesus. Amen.